All right, everybody. Thank you. Welcome back to another show of Finance Agents Live. This is a really big show for us. Every show is a really big show, but it's a really big show for us. First of all, let me say thank you to David Krantz, our special guest. Here,
cheers. Thank you. Cheers.
Thanks for coming on our show. David Krantz is our partner with Lantera. That's an exclusive partnership with us for real estate deals. But before I get into that cool stuff, I just want to take a moment to appreciate our new studio. You,
right. I love it.
You are the first to see our new studio. And I'm not kidding, I'm really excited about this. I hope that you see a big difference from the past. We got a better camera, we got better lights, we got better everything, and a better show.
And I'm the first one on in the new studio today.
That's right. David's helping us break it in. So anyway, so about this, so this is David Krantz from Lantera. Lantera is our exclusive partner for real estate deals. So today we're going to be talking about real estate deals and Lantera, the opportunity, you know, what it takes to get a loan with us, what it takes to qualify, if you're a referral partner with us, what are the terms and conditions, what kind of stuff do we need to see, and we're going to be digging into that. But, you know, again, before we get too far into this, I just want to mention that last night was first game of the World Series, and we're just south of LA, so we're in Dodgers country here. So I'm not unhappy with the first game. We had a good first game. What's your prediction for the World Series this year?
Dodgers in five, Justin Turner, series MVP.
Justin Turner?
Turner, series MVP.
We were talking
MVP.
About this before, not Clayton Kershaw.
No, I mean, no way.
Clayton Kershaw, best pitcher in the history of baseball.
No, you got to be very careful with a statement like that. You're going to get people yelling at you saying something like that.
All right, well, I really want to hear from you guys. Who do you think is going to win the World Series? And I'm willing to put myself behind your votes, okay? So when you're watching this, I'm going to give this a whole week for voting. But when you're watching this, go to the discussion, not the live chat, but go to the discussion below and enter in who you think is going to win, if it's going to be the Dodgers or the Astros. And whatever team gets more votes, and it's probably going to be Dodgers because we all know the Dodgers are going to win, but whatever team gets more votes next week on the next live stream where we're going to be talking about credit repair, another big partnership that we're launching, I will wear gear of the team that gets the most votes. All right? So by default, I think it's going to be Dodgers. I'm going to come Dodgers hat full. I'm going to become set up. But, and that's what I'm expecting to see votes for. But if I see more Astros votes than Dodgers, I will come in shame wearing Astros gear. So I leave it in your hands, the internet. I leave it in the hands of the internet.
Let's see what they say out in Houston, Texas.
That's right. Right. We got a lot of people down in Houston that
Houston.
Watch your show. We got a couple member offices there. We got a lot of agents. I mean, Texas is a great state.
Even the people from Dallas, Texas are rooting for the Houston Astros right now.
Maybe. All right. Well, let's see. Anyway, I'll get on to the show, but I'm really looking forward to the discussion notes below to see what we get here. And by the way, I have notes. Oh, see, Marcy Green calling out for Dodgers. Thank you, Marcy. Oh, we already got two votes. Just so you know, you guys are voting into the live chat. Make sure to put it into the discussion area, not the live chat. But we got one vote for Astros from Tom and one for Dodgers from Marcy. All right, this is going to be good. I look forward to seeing what happens. I might, if it's 50-50, I'm going to wear half Dodgers.
Well, we'll pay air. If we get 50-50, I promise this. We will paint his hat. We'll paint his face.
No.
Half Astros, half Dodgers.
No, because then somebody...
I promise.
No, then the staff will intentionally go in and make it 50-50, right?
We won't tell the staff.
I don't know if we're going to keep it a secret. Anyway, all right. So back to the show. Get on with CRE. CRE stands for Commercial Real Estate. And it's a little simplistic to just call it Commercial Real Estate. How would you define CRE in the sense of, what is it that you do? What kind of loans do you do?
CRE encompasses really everything. It's real estate lending is what it comes down to. We call it commercial real estate because we do not lend to anybody that is a owner occupied in the home. Mm-hmm. So it could be a single family home. Doesn't mean that it has to be a big commercial industrial building. Like if you look at one of the slides that's up there now, you'll see that we've done single family homes. They just need to be non-owner occupied, and that qualifies them to be quote unquote commercial real estate.
All right, so what's wrong with an owner occupied property? Why wouldn't we be willing to do one of those?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the laws are very prohibitive from lenders such as ourselves to do loans to owner occupied occupants. Therefore, it has always been our firm's decision to stay away from owner-occupied properties.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is, guys, there's some ridiculous laws around mortgage lending right now for owner-occupied properties, and I get why it's there. It's there to protect homeowners, but it's gotten to a point where I had a friend who's a dentist who sold his practice, had $1.5 million in the bank, and he couldn't get a home loan because he'd sold his practice and now didn't have documented income when he had more money in the bank than the house even cost. So some crazy laws, but
we got him a loan.
We're not here to talk about how crazy the laws are. The reality is right now we are not doing single family owner occupied properties. But right now we have an example on the screen here that you look at. It's a $1.5 million single family residence that was owned as an investment property. So it was not lived in by the owner. They came to us, they got a, actually, I'm sorry, it's not a $1.5 million, it's a $1.5 million loan. I believe the property was worth
about
three million, something like that. Got an interest only loan, 12 months. Yeah, 3.5, it's right on there, free and clear. So the property's owned free and clear. They're able to get a loan. Generally, about 50 to 65% of the value of the property is available for a loan. That's what we're looking at. And on the bottom, if you're looking to get one of these loans, you know, great. But if you're looking to, if you're one of the, you know, 20,000 people that refer people to us for these types of loans, then you want to know what you get when you refer somebody in. If you're a standard agent with us, if you referred in this exact loan, it's a $7,500 commission. It's half of 1% of the total funding. And if you're a recruiter with us and you referred in the deal, then it's over $10,000. So it's 0.75% of funding, $11,250. So it's good money. How long did it take to close this loan?
That loan took approximately 9 to 11 working days, which is probably pretty typical for most of our loans. What ties us up is we're waiting for other people. If I have a title report and an appraisal, getting it through underwriting only takes us a day to a day and a half. So we are always relying on other vendors. Even though we pay rush fees and expedited fees, we are dealing with properties that are sometimes in a rural setting, which will sometimes delay the appraisals to come in. But typically we're running, if you figure 15 full days, you're really on the safe side to get loans through here.
Okay. All right. So what you could get from that is what we care about is the value of the property and that the appraisal supports the value of the property that you understand and that there's clear title, which means you don't have a $1 million tax lien on this property, so we can actually give you a loan. And that's it, right? Now, if you go through the process, and we're going to go over the details later on, exactly everything we need, we'll ask for other stuff, we'll check credit, we'll check other stuff. But really what matters are those three things. What's the value? Does the appraisal support that value? And do you have a clean title? If you hit those boxes and you're not in the middle of remote Alaska in the Inuits or something, right? We had one. We had beachfront property.
In Alaska.
In Alaska, in the middle of nowhere. No roads, I think. Okay, so that's the exception. But in general, value, appraisal, title, and we're good. All right, so Lenterra, that is your brand. Tell us about Lenterra. How long has Lenterra been around?
Lenterra's been around just over a year now. And it's a company that came in to work with finance agents directly, to work with the member offices and to take their deals and their real estate deals and to process them out and be the fulfillment portion for the finance agent's brand.
Right, so Lenterra is exclusive to finance agents. If you want to go get a loan through Lenterra directly, you got to be coming in through a finance agent or one of our member offices. So it's an exclusive partnership and it's something we're very proud of. We launched it last August, I believe. And up until this month, we've done about $10.5 million in loans. And in this month alone, we might do over three million.
Over three million.
So we're really starting to pick up the pace and volume. And I'd imagine we get to the point where we're doing $10 million every month and potentially a lot more than that. So, but we're here exclusively for you if you're a finance agent or a member office. It's an exclusive partnership. So what are some of the criteria when you're looking at these deals?
Well, you know, really what I look at is I look at the property first. I look at the pictures of the property and I look at the value of the property and I look at the location of the property. Those are my main characteristics of us giving the loan is the property and the property value. And everything we base that around has to deal with the property. Once we are able to establish the true value of the property is then we can determine how much of a loan to value we're going to make on that loan.
Okay, great. And by the way, something new we're doing on this show is Darren, who is actually running the show, is going to be reading comments out loud into the microphone. I see some comments coming in right now. What are some of the questions you're seeing, Darren?
All right, well, we do have a comment here from Tom. He's considering or asking about what are the typical LTVs. I'm pretty sure we might get to that later, but just keep that in mind.
Yeah, okay. I mean, let's go ahead and go over it. So loan to values is the, if you're new to the industry, you got the value of the property. Let's say the value is $1 million. Loan to value is how much of that is available for a loan. So if you have $1 million property with a $200,000 mortgage, and you know, what's the LTV and how much of a loan can you get?
LTV stands for loan to value. And what you do is it's a multiplier. I want to make this as simplistic as I possibly can. And typically what we do on our loans is we'll end up to 60% loan to value of a property. So if a property is worth $1 million, we'll give them a first mortgage for up to $600,000. It's pretty typical of where you need to be.
50 to 65% is the range.
That's our range, but you should, when you're determining and looking at a loan, you should figure closer to 60% overall.
Okay.
And you're gonna be fairly okay with that type of a number.
Now, the people that I get the most pushback on that number from are the people that are in the fix and flip industry, because frankly, fix and flip is different. It's a whole industry in itself, and you got people coming in getting 90% loan to cost plus 90% of the actual rehab costs and other things. You know, yeah. This isn't a fix and flip program.
Well, let's be really frank with everybody here about fix and flip. Like you had mentioned, Tim, fix and flip has really become its own industry on itself. There's so many lenders out there and so much competition in it. Do you really want to compete and go out and make maybe a total of a gross a point or a point and a half on one deal, when you can do a commercial loan and be in a niche and make a lot more money? And that's really what we've decided to do. Now, we will in certain markets look at fix and flip programs. Mm-hmm. But as a general rule of thumb, there's not that much money in it because it's such a competitive marketplace. And that's why we really kind of stayed out of it and go into the more niche, smaller commercial balance loans.
Yeah, and from a different side, to be totally honest, we are a direct lender. That means we're putting our money or our investors' money to risk. And the fix and flip rates right now are nuts. I mean,
very
you want
small.
To invest where there's no equity. When we lend, we want to make sure that the investors get paid back, that the borrower gets a good deal, the investor gets their money paid back. And if you're investing at something where it's 90% loan to value, I don't know how that ever pencils out. So that's just not something we really do.
Right.
All right, there's some more comments coming in, Darren.
Just one, and do we loan in all 50 states?
Right now we are looking at all 50 states.
All right, now that's actually different from some of the other times we've done trainings. We're growing constantly. Some of the states are not going to be the same, right? Just like I said, remote Alaska, North Dakota, South Dakota, Tennessee. Every state has its own laws and structure, so the amounts might be different, but we are able to lend in all 50 states.
We are
states
able
right
to
now.
Lend in all 50 states.
Okay, great. All right, so a little bit about your background, David. Sounds like you know what the heck you're talking about.
Yeah, I've
been doing this for at least a couple weeks, maybe a
couple of weeks
year.
Now, at least a month or two now.
Give us some background.
Been involved for about 31 years. Mm-hmm. Started out in home improvement finance, actually. That's where I got my start, was doing home improvement finance.
31 years, so you were doing this from the crib.
From the crib,
because he had his birthday 2 days ago. And he turned 32. So
right, 32. So I was from the crib.
All right.
So I started out my career in doing consumer home improvement financing, mm-hmm. when I was a very, very young man, actually 18 years old. Started working in a family business.
This is a family business for you.
Family
lending,
business.
Right?
Third generation
lender.
Started lending at a very young age. And the old joke that I used to say was, when I got a car at 16, it wasn't to go chase girls on dates, it was to go collect money from rent and mortgage payments. And the old saying is, if you want to be in the lending business, you need to know how to collect first. And that's where I started, as a collector. Just kind of
how
built
was that?
Up from there.
Was that fun?
I got chased out of a few houses.
Give me your most interesting story. I know I'm just springing this on you.
Well, we went ahead and I've had a lot of them, but one that sticks out in my head is we went ahead and lent a lady, an older lady, money to buy a solar system for her house back in 1986. Okay. Mm-hmm. And she stopped paying and had to go collect.
Solar system. I didn't even know solar was big in 86, right?
It was big. It's
really?
Tax credits were big.
Okay.
Now,
excellent.
This is solar hot water. This isn't solar energy for
okay.
the whole house.
Like heat or pool or something.
Heat your water only.
Okay.
And we gave her a loan and she stopped making payments after like 2 months, and I had to go collect the payments, and she literally came out of the house with a broom chasing me. Is one story, and then another
with a broom.
Yeah,
What did you do? Did you just...
I left. And then another story, it's funny, I should mention this. We had offices in the city of Detroit, and we were very large lenders in the inner city. Mm-hmm. And I had to go back to our... I had to go back to our Michigan office, and I was training a woman loan officer with me. Mm-hmm. And I had to go in the inner city to collect, and it was Friday afternoon, about 4 o'clock, and it was, again, another older lady that apparently stopped making payments, didn't know she still owed money, and I had to go knock on her door. Well, before I know it, she came spewing out a lot of bad words to me, and before I know it, I was surrounded by our whole neighborhood. I took the car keys out of my car, and I took the lady loan officer. I said, get in the car. Start the car, unlock the door. Uh-huh. I'll be there in a minute. And then I drove down the street. And this is the day before really cell phones were really, where everybody had a smartphone.
Right.
I pulled the car over, went to a pay phone. I called my father at the office in Scottsdale, Arizona, and I asked him if he didn't like me or something anymore. He sent me there to go collect for him. So
all
those
right.
are two.
But you survived at
I
least.
I survived. So those are two collection stories, and I certainly have more than that.
All right, good. Well, we'll leave it at that. Okay, so that's your background. So you've been in lending forever. What else? So after collections.
Collections, and then I moved into doing commercial real estate where we did commercial and consumer lending, where we were the largest consumer lender.
First you did brokering, right, for regular loans only, before you became a direct lender?
Not necessarily. We were always a direct lender because, mm-hmm. remember, it was a family business, so we were always a direct lender. We'd do our own home improvement financing for many years. Then we became a direct retail lender, mm-hmm. where we were developed the largest retail subprime in the state of Arizona for many years, up until about 1992, 93. Mm-hmm. And we did sell those packages. We'd package up mortgages and sell them off in the secondary market. And
okay.
then I just built my business up over the years from all kinds of loans and seeing everything you could imagine out there.
Great. So looking at the current market, mm-hmm. you've been watching it for 30 years. What's different now than 10 years ago?
Well, 10 years ago
was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So
10 years
maybe
ago.
That's a bad question.
No, that's okay. You know, 10 years ago, what year? 2017. 10 years ago was a free fall. I mean, everybody was very scared. No one knew what was going on. I think everybody thought the world was falling apart, which it was. I think we've settled down. I think we see now that we can overcome quite a bit of any type of diversity in our financial markets. You know, when we went ahead and had that meltdown of 07, 08 market meltdown, the markets are hot. I mean, they've never been hotter. I mean, look at the stock market. I mean, it's only a matter of time before that thing flattens out.
You think the market's hotter now than it was 11, 12 years? I mean, you could never be hotter than it was back then. It was crazy.
Yeah, well, those prices, I don't know where the price points are in each state we're lending on right now, mm-hmm. where they are in comparison to, but some of them are starting to creep up to those crazy numbers in certain states that we're lending mm-hmm. into right now.
Okay. Now, Darren, definitely interrupt us with questions. I see questions coming on. We are live, so what are some of the comments that are coming in?
All right, so we did have AAA wanted to find out if it's a 60% LTV, so you need 40% down up front or at closing.
Well, it would have to be at closing. No, I don't really understand the question. I mean, 40% cash down when you close is when you'd have to have the 40% cash down to closing. Now, keep something in mind. We've done deals where we've financed 100% financing where the seller has done a full carryback. So depending on what state you're in, sometimes we will allow a seller carry back to carry the difference back where we'll do 100% financing. Do you understand what I mean by that, Tim?
I do, but I want to make sure that I'm going to explain it. So it could be a carry back or you just get an amazing deal on the property potentially.
No, it's got to be a carry back.
Well, let's say you got $1 million waterfront property, because isn't this exactly what we did? $1 million waterfront property and the person's able to buy it for $500,000 and they want to get 100% loan. That's 100% of the cost they want a loan for without putting any money down at all. In that scenario, is that possible?
We've done that in two deals last year. Mm-hmm. They were incredible properties. We've had no problem. We financed 100%.
It's the exception, not the rule.
The exception, not the rule, but we're able to do it. And the other exception, not the rule, is if you have a client that has a building they want to buy or a real estate investment they want to buy, they don't have cash down, but the seller's willing to carry paper back, let's look at the deal as well, too.
All right, and this is what I want to make sure you guys understand. Carry back means the seller agrees to sell it, basically get 60% of the money instead of 100% of the money at close, and then they're going to have their own loan. Is that going to be a second mortgage?
We must be in first position.
40%?
We'll
it has to be an actual second mortgage placed.
That's correct.
Okay. All right, so, and that's, you know, so that's beneficial if you don't have enough money to put the money down. But generally, you're going to want something. You have to come to the table with some cash. You're going to need to pay for appraisal and title work for sure. I mean, we do have a partner that will do loans for somebody who's absolutely zero cash. So that is possible. But in general, you're going to need to pay for the appraisal.
Appraisal, title work in advance, right.
All right, so here's another example that we have here. It's a small property, so the opposite of the last one. The house was worth around $100,000. They got a $45,000 loan, 12-month interest only. So what we do, we're not doing 30-year fixed at fully amortized loans. We're doing short-term bridge financing. So the example that we have is someone who got a bridge loan. Actually, they inherited the property from a relative, and they needed money to enhance the property in order to be able to get renters in there. And they did not have the credit to be able to go for traditional financing. So they came to us and we said, there's plenty of equity in the property. It's a $100,000 property. We could sell it tomorrow for $100,000. Let's give them a loan for $45,000 and give them 12 months to get a renter in there, get some cash flow. And then sometime within the 12 months, they can go to a regular bank and try to buy it out with a traditional loan, right?
Right.
And that's most of our deals. We're doing 1 to 3 years, average about 18 months.
I would say our average is actually 20-month average.
20-month average.
And our average loan
interest only.
And our average loan amount is about $400,000.
And interest only means you're only paying on interest. You're not making any payments on principal. And that is in order to keep the payments down as low as possible to make it easier for you to make the payments while you look at securing long-term permanent financing. So if you were the standard agent that brought this deal to us, it'd be $225 commission. It's not the biggest commission in the world, but you help somebody who needed help, and you're able to help them get a renter and renovate the property. A recruiter would get $337 on this example property. All right, so I think we have another example right after that. Nope, no more examples. All right, so let's go over what are some of the benefits to this program for the borrower, I guess?
Well, the borrower gets funding, and what you're going to find is that if you have your borrowers that have been shopped around all over the country, we're one of the few places that really has deep pockets. And what I mean by deep pockets is we buy deep. And what that means in the industry is we really are equity players and equity buyers. We're not looking, even though we pull credit and we look at tax returns just to see where we are with the borrower, we are purely equity players. We are purely asset-based players. And that's a real advantage for you out there, because everybody says, oh, I buy on asset. But when it comes down to it and they see the credit and they see that they're not making money on their tax returns, they end up turning your deals down.
Right. If you look at the big established funds that have been around for years, typically at some point they signed a deal with the devil and took money from big banks or hedge funds that gave them super strict parameters within which they can lend. Even though they're generally asset-based, now they're looking at credit. They want somebody with a 650 plus credit or established rent rolls or all these different things, when we can look at it and just lend based on the value, which means you can have had a bankruptcy and get a loan from us, right?
It doesn't matter.
You just can't be in active bankruptcy right now.
Well, you have to get approval from the trustee court, but we're not handling those at this point.
And that's hard. You can be in foreclosure and get a foreclosure bailout, and that's for sure. We've done those. So a traditional lender wouldn't touch anybody in a foreclosure. I mean, understandably, right? But we're able to go out and make those exceptions when possible. So there's no personal credit requirements. We will look at credit. And
for pricing. We do that to price our deals.
Right. People can get better rates if they have good credit, but it doesn't disqualify. And this comes up. We've had some people where we've asked for credit, and we've gotten pushback. They say, hey, I thought you were an asset-based lender, and you're not looking at credit. Well, we're going to look. I mean, we're going to look at everything. We have to have everything in file, but it's not going to disqualify you. It just might keep you from getting better rates.
That's right? All it is. It may stop you from getting our California 9% interest rate.
Right. So bankruptcy okay, foreclosure bailout's okay, stated income is okay. Let's talk about that. We typically will ask for information on the lease if it's commercial property with lessors, right?
Yes. And we will ask for tax returns. And again, the reason we ask for them, even though we say we're stated income, is it's really simple. We have a collection department, and we're going to rate these deals coming in. So if we have somebody that doesn't show any income with a 505 credit score, we know we're going to flag that account for our collection department. And it's just an internal way for us to know what our collection systems look like. It does not mean you're not getting your loan approved, that they're a 505 credit, or that they've had title issues. Doesn't mean a thing to us.
How about no credit? How about international? They don't have an established U.S. credit history.
Well, we've done that before, as you know.
We've done it. All right.
We had a couple from Australia that owned a rental property, and I think Ohio, nobody would lend them the money because they were
you don't trust foreign Australians nationals.
I'm just kidding. No, they were foreign nationals, I believe. No, they weren't foreign nationals. They lived in Australia and had a property here. They were an investment property here, and we were able to grant a loan to them.
Okay, great. And there's no use of funds restrictions except for the one restriction. You can't be using it to for the house that you're going to buy to live in. Beyond that, though, some of the stuff that I've seen come up is people are pulling cash out of a property and they want to use it for all sorts of stuff. Sometimes the investors don't like that, right? So there can be restrictions on use of funds, or
use of funds has, if you're using, if it's an owner occupied property and you're using the money for your business only, we will lend you money. If it's an owner occupied business purpose loan only, we will lend you money if it's a straight business purpose, but 50% of what you take out, 51%, I'm sorry, of what you borrow from us must go into your business account. So for example, if I make you a loan for 100 grand, 51,000 of it must go into your business account. So you must be self-employed, have a business account, and that 51% or more of the funding must go for business purpose.
Okay, great. All right, so here we have another example. It's a commercial. Now, look at this. Is this a commercial strip mall? Is it that entire building, or is it just a unit?
It's the entire building.
It's the entire building. So that's $400,000 in funding. What was that worth? I mean,
this was a purchase for $700,000.
It was a purchase for $700,000.
He had $300,000 down. He came to us. He had less than a week to close this deal because he did not have an appraisal. He only had what they call a BPO, which stands for a broker's price opinion. Mm-hmm. So what we did is, it was a purchase. We felt very comfortable with the broker price opinion. We felt comfortable that if he was purchasing for $700,000 from this bank, we felt, and he was putting in, I think, $300,000 down, we felt comfortable with the down payment. We closed the deal in 7 days.
7 days. So that's it. We could do loans in 7 days. So expect
it. We just did another one for $1.8 million in less than that.
Less than that.
But okay. It was a California deal.
All right. Well, don't assume it's always going to be 7 days, because we have to do an appraisal and title work. The title alone sometimes can take 3 weeks.
Depending what state you're located in and where your property is located, it could take some time. If I have a deal in a single family property in Dallas, Texas, I could have a prelim in a day. If I'm in Barraza or Clute, Texas, I could be sitting for 3 weeks to get a preliminary title report.
We're Houston. All right, it might have been flooded recently, so you know there are exceptions that can make it take a little bit longer. But come to us with a good location, with an established appraisal, and funding can happen very quickly. Especially, that's one of the reasons we put together our own money, so we're not reliant on other people telling us that it needs to take longer. We have our own funds ready to lend now and can fund in the right opportunities.
Right.
All right, so if you brought us this opportunity, would it be a $2,000 commission as a standard agent, which most of you are, or if you're a recruiter, it could be $3,000 commission. So it's a good commission. The person got the funds they needed, and they were able to buy the location. All right, so what are the things we need in order to review somebody for a loan? I know we already kind of went over this. What we said is just title and appraisal, but there's some more things we may be asking for.
Sure,
what are those things?
Well, we need an application filled out with pictures of the property.
Pictures are super important, right?
I have to have them. And nowadays, it's so easy. Just with their smartphone, let them take pictures and send the pictures in. Get as many pictures of the property as you can, because we can make the deal, you know, we can tell you whether or not we're interested or not based on pictures. So we need, an application and pictures of the property. Can you go back to that other slide for me real quick? Thanks. If the property is an apartment complex or a office building or any type of property that's producing any income, we need the leases in there. And if it's a purchase mortgage, we need what's called the PSA or purchase sale agreement.
Okay, great. I see somebody coming on here knows you personally. Fanny Luster, is that right?
Hi, Fanny. Nice to see you. You see me.
Thanks for coming on the show. All right. What's next? What do we got?
Samples are good in pictures.
Pictures are super important. I don't know if you're showing the pictures right now, but here are a couple examples of good pictures. And these days, pictures are super easy to get. Let's be honest. Most people have a smartphone. Most people can pull it out and snap. When in doubt, take 20 pictures. If you're not sure if it's a good picture, just keep snapping them. Send them all to us. We could take more rather than less. And if you have aerial plots, that could be good. So here's some good pictures. On the other side of it, this is what not to do, right? If you're inside and you got very limited views or something that can't give us a real picture of what we're looking at, we love to see our customers, but a picture of our customer doesn't help us know if we can get you a loan. So try to go back, What else is bad about these pictures? Just we need a full
picture. There's nothing good about these pictures. It doesn't tell me anything. It doesn't give a good clear shot of the outside of the building. And the inside of the building just looks real sloppy.
We get a lot like this. We get some crazy stuff coming.
You guys got to remember something. What we're trying to do is if you have a deal for a couple hundred thousand, 400,000, 500,000, whatever it is, remember something. We're all trying to make the deal. So remember, if you go to sell your car, you're going to wash the car through the car wash first and clean it up before your potential buyer comes. Same thing here with the pictures. Pictures tell 1,000 words. This is your first opportunity to sell a deal to us. So make sure these properties are or these pictures are really good. So when we're looking at them, we can move this through the system and give you a real quick answer.
Okay, great. All right, so what are some of the requirements and restrictions for the program?
Well,
what's the FICO requirement?
We don't have a FICO requirement.
No FICO. You can have absolutely no FICO at all. You can be from Australia even.
You can be from
Australia.
Even
Australians.
Even Australians get loans from us over here.
All right, sweet. Time in business is not a relevant factor for us. You don't need to be in business at all.
We can make a loan to you to go in business if you wanted.
Okay. You have no annual gross revenue requirements. You can have a bankruptcy as long as it's discharged. You can have judgments and liens as long as they're in payment. Sometimes the loan, when you distribute it, will actually pay off some of the liens.
That's right.
Right?
Yes. If they're on the property.
If they're on the property specifically.
They have to be paid off if they're on the property.
You can have a credit partner, but there's really no assistance.
No necessity.
You don't need one. So it's really a pointless question. This is secured lending in the sense that it is secured by the property 100% of the time. That is the thing that we care about. Doesn't matter what industry. You could be in the marijuana industry. You can be in the adult industry. All the stuff that would disqualify you from a bank, we don't care. As long as, right? I mean, is there anything?
No, that's it.
Okay. All right. No militias with
no
full guns.
No militias.
There's got to be something. There's things that we don't do, but pretty much there's no blanket industry restrictions. Funding amount, $100,000 to $5 million, really up to $10 million. But once you get in the bigger ones, we're probably going to want to syndicate to bring in partners.
Right, we syndicate.
It's going to take a little
bit
longer, but we could definitely look at the deals. Restrictions, just nothing owner-occupied. That's it. We can do land on a case-by-case basis and construction loans. So we're doing equity loans. The things that are different from that would be raw land, fix and flip, and construction. Those are all separate industries where we can look at them, but that's not our main thing. Yeah. So we're happy to look at them, but...
And I will tell you, let's add Florida to that list of construction loans as well, too. So Arizona, California, and Florida will look at construction loans for you in those three states, and we can be competitive for you in those three states.
Okay.
And that's why we've selected those three states to be competitive. Other than that, I can't promise you that we can do really anything competitive for
yeah,
you in those states.
Yeah, we got a question.
So what are the interest rates on these loans? Typically,
we just did a deal in California at 9.5%, but that's because it was a California deal and it was up in a beautiful area up in the LA County and it was a 50% loan to value and the market drove the rate down. Our rates in the state of California and Florida are going to start at 9%. Anywhere else across the country, they're going to start around 11.95 and go up from there depending on what their credit score is.
So what's the max range? Are you looking at 9 to 19 or...
9 to 16. The smaller the deal and the worse the credit, the higher the rate. The smaller the deal, the worse the credit, the higher the rate.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Just like regular lending. And you know, you might be used to traditional, I'm going to go to the bank and get a 4.5% interest loan. That is 100% different than what we're doing with private investors. The rate's got to be higher to cover the risk because we're doing deals that the banks will not
right.
do. Such a direct correlation. All right, so let's go through the funding process. We're going to try to go a little quick here just because we're going a little bit long. But first of all, funding process. First thing is we need to see your deal. If you're a finance agent with us, then go out and market, use your links. There's a number of different ways you can get an opportunity to us. And you want to market for property owners, non-owner occupied. Don't market to people trying to buy their first house to live in, right? Just avoid that one. There's four ways to create a lead. Either log into our agent portal and go to the input lead page and put in the information, and you're done. Or you send out your marketing link, which is right on your dashboard. That you send your link to somebody else, they fill out the form, it comes into us, you're done. Or email information, if you have an app, or property pictures, or more details, make sure to send it from the email that you use to create your agent account, send it to lead at 24-hour approvals, or CRE at 24-hour approvals if you have an attachment. If there's no attachment, it'll get rejected. So if you don't have an attachment, you just have a name, send it to lead. And then, we got another question.
And just to point out, send it once to that email address, because if you send it a second time, it'll create a new lead and a new instance.
Yeah, good point. We had somebody recently who sent, 10 emails in a row, each one with a different attachment. No bueno. All right? That creates 10 different leads on your system. Please don't do that. Put all the attachments into one lead. If for some reason you miss something, package up, put everything into a second one and send it once, and at least there's only two leads and not 10. If you're one of those people who scan 40 pages as individual JPEGs and you want to send, we've had a lot of people don't do that, please. Anyway, that's the third way to create a lead. Fourth way is, if you get confused, just give us a call, log into the agent account, your agent portal. Right on the top is your rep's contact information. Call us in and we can help you with the lead. Those are the ways to create the lead. So get a lead into the system. Once it's in, then your sales office, the member office you work with, they'll take over. And their responsibility is just get an app. If you didn't already give it to them, get an app with pictures. Make sure the client is really interested in a loan. And they'll get that into the system. And at that point, David and David's team at Lentera will take over. They will establish contact with the client. They'll go over the terms of the offer of the deal, find out what they're looking for, make sure it's something that can actually help them. And if so, they'll continue through the process and do the rest. And we'll go through all the steps here. So maybe thinking, what's in an application? I believe we have a sort of a high-level shot of the application. It's fairly simple. If you could pull up that picture, Darren, so everybody can see what the application looks like. It's three pages, and it basically asks for information on the borrower, information on the property, and then background information on the borrower's financial situation. We see a lot of people that sort of skip big sections in this, and I get it, you're busy, you want to get moving as fast as possible. If you are in a hurry, then fill the darn thing out, because if you skip sections, what do they say, shortcuts cause long delays, right? You skip things, it goes to the member office, comes into us, we got to go back to the member office, come back to you. Next thing you know, you lost 3 days and you're in a hurry. So don't skip the personal financial statement. Don't skip the section where you tell us about different properties. Maybe the one property you're looking at, the loan to value doesn't work, but if you have another property, there's some way we can combine it. Who knows? More information helps.
It's a really simple application. We condense this application to make it very simple for you. And we really do need these complete so we can make some quick decisions for you.
And please sign it. That's the one thing that we cannot do it if you don't sign it. Even if you miss whole sections, at least sign the darn thing, right? If you don't sign it, we literally cannot help you. Okay, so the role of processing once it actually comes in, and this is the stuff that's handled by David's team, is they'll create a letter of intent and present it to the borrower. Once it comes back signed, they will order appraisal and title work. And hopefully that goes quickly. If we can shortcut it with the BPO, broker price opinion, instead of appraisal, we will do so. But it just depends on the state and the area whether or not that's available. And then in general, you're looking at about 3 weeks, as we discussed, 7 days in sort of best case scenario. Worst case scenario is as long as it takes for the borrower to do something, right? We got
good
a comment.
Question.
So we've had several questions just pop in. Jeff wanted to know, what about a house, outbuildings, and land, small to mid-sized ranch as an example?
Okay, house, outbuilding, and lands. In general, we could definitely do it. I think the question is going to come down to how much of the value is in the land versus the building, because if it's 400 acres with a building, then
it's
the
value
is in the
deal.
Land, and that's hard.
Right.
So how would you look at, talk about how you would look at a deal like that.
Give me the question again. It's a ranchette?
So it says small to mid-sized ranch.
Need a little bit more information when you say small to mid-sized ranch. I mean, are we talking a Montana ranch on 4,000 acres? Are we talking a smaller ranch?
These are the questions we'd be asking. Do they live in it? Do they live in it? What if they live in it,
it
how
won't
would
matter.
You analyze
it? It wouldn't matter because it's over 2.5 acres, so you could throw out the Frank Dodd rule, so we can make them a loan even if they live in it because it's over 2.5 acres.
Okay.
A ranch, just off the cuff, without listening to you where it's located or anything, we're probably talking 50% loan to value on a ranch. Is it a working ranch? Call me, 949-346-1217. Let me answer your questions directly because I have some specific questions for you.
Great. Yeah, we're happy to talk to you. And if you have more details, put it in there, and we'll cover it if we think it's relevant. You said there were more comments that came in?
So Tom wanted to know if there's any points added to these deals.
Yeah, so what that question means, if he says, are there points added to the deals, he's asking, are there origination points that the or any kind of other fees that the borrower would have to pay? And for sure, there's all sorts of different things that could be on here, all the normal stuff that would be on any loan. It's really going to depend on the borrower, the situation, the investor, how much that's going to be. And we go over that, but it could be anywhere from 2% origination to what? I mean, there's
small deals could be, you know, a lot higher.
The smaller the deal, the more higher points could be on the deal, right?
Right.
And that's just, and that's because the lenders and investors have costs, and they have to be able to cover those. Even if it's a small deal, the costs don't necessarily get less.
They don't equal it. I mean, it costs us just as much to process $1 million deal as it does a $50,000 deal.
Right.
And sometimes those $50,000 deals are a lot harder than my $2 million deals in California.
They're always harder, right?
They seem to be.
So yeah, there will be points and fees on there, and that's how we're able to pay out the finance agents and member offices that bring the deals into us. But we always try to keep it within reason in order to make sure to take care of the borrower.
Okay. Joe wanted to know if we work with a realtor or agent.
Yeah, I mean, lots of them, right? So if you're not a finance agent with us right now, we have over 20,000 people that are. But if you're not, you just go register financeagent.com, sign up as a finance agent, and then you can refer people to us. You'll get assigned a direct rep, and you can call and talk to your direct rep about your individual deals. We have lots of real estate agents that are signed up as finance agents. You don't have to go through licensing to be a finance agent. It just means you refer prospects to us, and we handle the funding internally. That's why there's no licensing requirements. So it's wide open. We can work with anybody. If you're allowed to work with us, we're allowed to work with you.
Okay. And final question was, what if this is a project for myself? Does this apply to me?
Yeah, no problem.
For sure.
We made loans directly to finance agents.
Great.
They need to borrow the money directly.
Yeah, if you are a person with a property with enough equity in it, you can get a loan, right? Okay. Great. All right. So this is an example, kind of an overview. It's a little hard for you to see probably, but of what a fee agreement or letter of intent would be, a term sheet that comes out. So somebody comes in, we review, we see if we can do the deal. We send out a fee agreement, tells them exactly what we believe we can do or what we're offering. And it goes through and tells them the rate and points and any lender fees, anything that's on there. And then the client will go through and sign it if they're interested. And if so, then we move forward and try to get the deal funded as quickly as possible. If not, sometimes there's some negotiation, but usually what's on there is what's demanded by the lender. So it is what it is, basically. All right, here's another example. Tell us about this deal. I remember this one. Beautiful restaurant.
Oh, this is Wildwood, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's a deal up in Wildwood, New Jersey. It's a restaurant right on the, I don't want to say harbor, but right on the water up there. And I don't
know
what.
It's got its own boat slips.
It's got its own,
right?
14 or 15 boat slips in there. So he does a nice, really big job in the summertime. He bought the restaurant. He was running it for a number of years, and the owners wanted to sell it to him. He bought it for about, again, another $700,000 or $730,000 was the purchase price.
Mm-hmm.
We lent him $400,000. We gave him an interest-only loan for 1 year, and the down payment on that is incorrect, by the way. He put about $300,000 down.
I thought he put down less, and there's an owner carry of some sort.
Not on this particular one. No.
All right, so he put in $300,000, but he borrowed that from somebody else,
he
right?
He borrowed, as the down payment was borrowed.
So he borrowed the money from somebody else, and we're okay with that. As
right.
long as we are in the first position, we don't really care where the rest of the money comes.
Source
it could
of
be
funds.
No money, or it's a
we don't care.
Pack.
We don't have seasoning a source of funds.
Right. You don't have to sit on it for 3 months. You don't have to borrow it from your family and wait a while. Right. Just get the money. We don't care how you get it, and we'll be happy to give you the loan. All right. And if you're a standard agent, that's over $2,000 commission. A recruiter's over $3,000 commission for helping somebody buy a restaurant that he worked in, buy his live stream. Here's another example.
My favorite.
This is your favorite.
My favorite client. Well,
yeah,
you're all my
great
favorite
guy.
Clients, but this
great
is a
guy.
Good guy.
All right, so tell us about this property.
Our client is in the mental health business, and he needed some money to buy another facility. And what he did is he went ahead and put up, he has an office condo in North Carolina, and he put up his office condo in North Carolina. And what we did for him, which was an unusual case, again, this is the, what's the exception, not the rule. We did a 30-year deal for the guy. We did a 3-year adjustable loan, and then we converted to a 27 years will be converted to a fixed rate.
Okay, so that is the opposite of what I see in normal. My understanding of normal mortgage lending is you get a fixed rate for say 5 years,
and then
it becomes adjustable. You're saying it starts adjustable
and then,
converts
fixed.
To a fixed.
Right.
That is weird.
Yeah, right? But it becomes fixed at that rate in 3 years, so it's
so
okay.
Whatever rate it's at after it adjusts for 3 years, then that's what it sticks at.
Right.
And how does it adjust? What determines the adjustment?
I don't remember this exactly.
Okay, right,
it's usually like the Wall Street Prime Journal adjustment,
okay.
Or you know, one of the bank rates.
Oh, it's probably not going to be like this, but the property's worth $1 million free and clear. You got about a 61% loan to value on there. If you were a standard agent that referred this person to us, that's over $3,000 commission. A recruiter, over $4,500 commission. For helping somebody save his business who got hit with some regulatory things.
This guy? And then he was using the money to buy a new one, too.
Right, yeah. Okay, we got some more questions.
So Veronica wanted to know, can you fund two properties for the same person? Also, can you fund under a business name?
Yes, and we prefer to... The answer to your first question is yes, we can fund to under multiple properties, and we prefer to fund to a business anyway. So the answer to your question, Veronica, is yes on both of those.
So one person or entity could come to us and get 20 loans in a row. Or, and that's definite. What if you have two properties and you want to combine it into one loan, like a blanket loan?
We've done those. We do those all the time.
You do those. So either way, either... Put them all together and get one loan. That's, I think, a little bit harder. Is that harder?
Not for us. Doesn't matter.
Not for us. Not for David.
Us. Not for us.
Everything's easy for David.
Not for us over there.
All right. So multiple properties, no problem. Business, awesome. Good. Is that it? All right. Good. All right. So we're going to go into some terminology now. I like to go through this section really fast because otherwise you might just fall asleep. If you're not asleep already, terminology. Let's knock through this. Let's do lightning round.
Let's go round
on terminology. You take the first one. Go.
Appraisal. Everyone knows what appraisal is. It's just a written professional opinion from a licensed professional.
Okay. Broker price opinion, not a licensed professional, right?
He's a real estate agent or a real estate broker, so he has a license.
So he's not a licensed appraiser, but he's in the industry.
He's in the industry.
And so appraisal takes longer, costs a little bit more money, but it tends to be more accurate. Broker price opinion is someone's opinion by definition.
Yeah.
And more times we need appraisal, but...
Right.
Broker price. All right, ARV, what's that?
Just after repair value. You buy something that's worth $50,000, it's going to be worth $100,000 after you repair it. Therefore, it stands for after repair value, or ARV.
Is that something that do you lend on the after repair value?
Sometimes.
That's big in the fix and flip market.
Big in the fix and flip market, not real big in our market.
Okay. Balloon payment. What's a balloon payment?
That's when the mortgage is due. A balloon, it's when the whole amount is due at one time. Our loans are all balloon payments. Our loans are written for 1 to 3 years, interest only, with a balloon at the end of the term.
Yeah, that means you're not paying any principal, but you got to pay it all at the end. And you may be thinking, how the heck is somebody going to pay the whole mortgage at once? And generally, people are going to get another loan from somebody else. You're going to refinance it
for
long term.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, blanket loan is what we just talked about. If you have 2, 3, 4, 8, I heard somebody with 30 properties and they want to get one loan to cover the whole thing. That's what I said is a little more complicated. I mean, every property has to have an appraisal on it normally, so it becomes difficult to just get that many appraisals. But a blanket loan is one loan for all the properties together. Bridge loan is pretty much everything we do.
Everything we do, just the loan, it's a gap loan. It's a small, bridge loan means short-term lending. Short-term loans, 1 to 3 years is a bridge loan. That's what it really means.
Okay. And clear title is, please, have clear title. Clear title means we're allowed to give you a loan if you don't have a bunch of stuff stacked in front of us. Here's a question. If somebody comes in with a clear title and we give them a loan, 6 months later they get a tax lien.
It's behind us.
It's behind
us.
No,
it's not.
No?
Tax lien from the IRS or property tax lien?
Either one. I don't know.
Well, property tax lien is always going to be in front of us.
Always in front of us.
Always in front. Property tax liens are always in front. That's why we like to impound for taxes and insurance.
Mm-hmm.
But a tax lien will be behind us.
So like an IRS or state tax?
Behind us. But
okay.
Property taxes will always take precedence over us.
All right. Clear title means we can give you a loan. Combined total loan to value is what you're doing if you're doing a blanket loan. Combined total loan to value is if you have a $200,000 loan on $1 million property and you want to get an extra $300,000, your combined total loan to value would be 50%. That is the number that we care about, the total debt to the total value.
Right.
Right? Okay. Hard money lender.
It's a terminology that I don't really like, but it's terminology that's used for people that are private lenders that use their own money to fund deals. These are people that make loans without using a bank, or these are people that...
It's us,
basically. It's
right?
Really us.
Private money lenders.
Private money lenders. It's us. It's who we are. We're hard money lenders.
All right. Interest only means you're only paying interest payments. You're not paying anything on the principal. Seasoning. We don't really... Okay, we don't care about seasoning, and we do care about seasoning. We don't need seasoning on funds, but...
If you just bought a house for $50,000 today and you tell me it's worth $1 million tomorrow and you want to borrow $500,000 on it, it's not going to work because we need seasoning for a property. Before we can use the value of a home, we need them, or a value of a property, they need to own it for at least 1 year. So before I use the value, let me explain that to you. You can go buy a property for $1 million and that's the value. Even though it may be worth $2 million, you bought it for $1 million, that's the value we have to lend on for the first year. After 12 months, whatever the appraised value is what we can lend on.
All right, so this comes up a lot for people that are buying stuff at auctions.
Yes.
Or tax liens. Like if you're in Texas, you're one of those Astros fans, you know, the state of Texas has some pretty aggressive tax structures where if you owe $100 on taxes, they can literally take your whole property away from you and sell it to somebody who pays the back taxes. It's a lot more complicated than that. But if you buy a property for $100 and you tell us it's worth $1 million, it's going to be hard to get that loan until you've owned the property for at least a year. And we want to make sure that there's not some crazy problem with the property, which is why you got it for so cheap. It's just protecting our investors. All right, subordination. We don't do it, right? What is subordination?
Well, subordination is, let me give you an example. Subordination is where maybe there's a lien on a property for a Wells Fargo has a home equity loan mm-hmm. with John Smith. We're trying to get a loan on it or a credit line. We'll ask them to subordinate behind us to go into that.
Subordination means if in the case of default, who gets paid first? First position gets paid first. Second gets paid second. We only do first position. If there is other debt, we will either pay it off or it can subordinate.
They have to
subordinate. Not us.
So subordination means they'll release their lien, let us put our lien in front of them, is what a subordination is.
Right.
It's not really used at all very much in our office here.
Yeah, most of the time we're just paying off any existing liens or loans in order to have one final loan. It's easier for the borrower to make one payment than 3 or 6 or 10. All right, here's, I think, maybe one of the last examples we got is another owner-occupied, or not owner-occupied, sorry.
No, actually, that's Uh-oh. Incorrect. This is an owner-occupied business purpose loan. Remember what I want to be very clear mm-hmm. on. You can be an owner-occupied home and I'll make you a loan if you're using the money for business purposes. This lady was using all the money she got for business purposes. We did a loan for $1.2 million for her.
She owned a pharmacy?
Pharmacy. This was our pharmacist. Okay. She owned a pharmacy up in near San Francisco area, actually in downtown San Francisco. She lived just outside San Francisco. The house was worth $2 million. It doesn't look like a $2 million house. I know you're looking at it from all over the East Coast, or wherever you're out looking at it, but it is.
It's California, right
it
there.
It is California.
You got a garage worth $2 million
out
here.
It's just crazy out here.
So you got a $1.2 million loan. She used the whole thing for her business.
She had some debt to pay off. She had a first to pay off, and the rest
of the
business.
She got business. Some real bad business
she
loans.
She got the W, right. She got those business loans. Right.
I'm not calling anybody out. But if you get, there's some lenders out there doing super aggressive loans, business loans, collateralized by real estate that can be really expensive. If you have one of those, come to us. We'll pay it off.
And help your borrower in a big
with
way.
With a much better loan. We had a client that was paying, actually one of the clients we listed here was paying $56,000 a month in loan servicing. Once he got our loan, his payment dropped to $5,300 a month. One payment instead of 21 payments a month. If you're in that situation, please call us right away. We want to help you. That's a horrible situation. We can get you out of it. All right. I think that should be about it. All right. Costs and commissions. We had some people asking about this. What are the costs to the borrower? And, you know, pricing varies. It's across the board based on the situation, the credit, and really that's it. You know, what kind of liens are on there? We try to make it something that the borrower can afford. At the same point, the worse the situation is, the more we have to entice the investors to be able to take on that risk. And it's just a straight correlation between risk and the risk appetite of the investors.
And the smaller the loan, you know, the more expensive it becomes, obviously.
Right.
But again, you will be very hard-pressed to find anybody in the United States of America, and I will say this on camera in front of everybody, to buy as deep as we buy.
Right. All right. We do deals other people don't. We're here to help you out if you need help and no one else will lend to you. So, and if you're referring deals to us, As a standard agent, you get 0.5% of funding, and a recruiter, you get 0.75% of funding. So in these examples, $1 million loan would be a $5,000 or $7,500 commission. So we pay out good commissions for people that refer people to us. All right, so, oh, we got another question, and we're in the question section, so how appropriate.
All right, so we actually had two questions come in, one from Scott, and this is something I think we covered earlier, but will you lend to licensed marijuana businesses?
Yes.
Definitely.
We've done two that I know of off the top of my head.
We'll lend to unlicensed marijuana businesses.
Yeah, that's true.
you don't have to be licensed. What if, you know, there's some states down there where marijuana is not legal yet. What if it's a grow operation, so effectively it's illegal?
We don't really care.
Okay.
As long as we have the real estate to collateralize it.
All right. Okay.
And the second one was from Veronica again. Do you loan to nonprofit or not-for-profit businesses?
We have.
That's a good question because there is a distinction there, right? We can lend to nonprofits, but if you come to us with a church with a steeple on it or something, that's called a single-purpose building, and that makes it harder, frankly, right? If you have a single-purpose building, whatever it is, that can make it harder. I think something that came up is we had a mortuary graveyard that came in four times. It came in from all these different offices. And I'm sorry, that made it super tough because nobody's going to... Look, we have investors that are looking at a property that are analyzing their risk. And their risk is, if somebody defaults and I have to take this property over, can I sell it? You can't sell a graveyard very easily. And you can't sell a church except to another church. It's a tough situation. So just keep that in mind. That makes it more difficult. All right, so we got a bunch of questions here, and just like the lightning round, I want to go through these as quick as possible, especially because we've already covered a lot of these. What are the rates and fees?
Depending on the state you're in, if we're in California or Florida, our rates are as low as 9.5%. Typically, you should be quoting your borrowers about 12% to get started.
12% is pretty standard. All right, next question. How long does it take to fund? And that's anywhere from 7 to 21 days. With the exception of somebody dragging their feet or an appraisal taking forever. I got one example I just want to call. I'm not going to say the guy's name, but we had somebody come through a year and a half ago and applied for a loan. And not lying, 250 inquiries on his credit report. He's obviously gone everywhere in the world. And by some magic, we got him approved. And then he just fell off the face of the earth.
Well, wait.
4 months
than that.
Later, he comes back. We got him approved again. Disappeared.
Better than that, he paid like $2,000 for the appraisal and disappeared.
And
he paid for the appraisal.
So we still haven't done the loan, but we're ready.
And the other thing is, too, it's weird. I talked to a competitor of ours, or actually a pair of mine, and we just started talking, and he had the same loan approved that I had 8 months ago.
Same guy. He goes everywhere, gets approved, walks away. I don't know what he's doing. But so there's no end cap if people drag their feet, but in general, 7 to 21 days is what we're looking at for most deals. Do you fund fix and flips?
Again, in certain states, we'll look at them. California, Arizona, and Florida, we'll look at them. But across the country, it's not really our bag. And I think when you really get into them, you'll see there's not a lot of profit in fix and flips in the market.
Okay. Do you finance construction?
Let me look at your deals. We're going to be looking at them in the three states I mentioned before, primarily California, Arizona, and Florida is where we're looking at construction deals.
Construction deals take a lot of management, mostly because the funds usually come out over time as you hit different stages in construction. And we're just not a slam dunk for those right now, but we can look at them if they're in the right states. And what about financing raw land? Your favorite.
Yeah. I like infill. We'll look at infill land.
Mm-hmm. Infill meaning if there's development, there's stuff built all around it.
It's
in the
infill.
Middle
it's
of
the last piece.
Area.
Yeah, it's the last piece for us to pop in there. We'll take a look at it. Not super aggressive on it. But we will take a look at it.
Right. I mean, raw land is the thing that goes up the most and drops the most based on the market. So it's risky and specialized, so we don't want to do a lot of that. Are there upfront costs for the borrowers?
Yeah, here's the deal. Any commercial lender is going to charge you thousands upon thousands of dollars. They're going to charge application fees, all kinds of upfront fees that are non-refundable. Here's what we charge. We charge fees that are true costs. We charge for the appraisal, which has to be paid for directly by your borrower to the appraisal company.
Yeah, the money doesn't come to us.
Mm-mm.
Straight to the appraiser.
And we charge for a title work, which again is the cost, which is a true cost. We don't charge, give me $2,500 application fee just to process your loan. That's not
$10,000 or $30,000.
Right.
I see people asking for $50,000 up front. So we don't do that.
Right, but you know, there are expenses. There's the appraisal, there's title, and
sometimes
occasionally travel. Right. If we have to send out myself or Tim or me and one of our team members to go inspect the property, your borrower will be paying that cost.
But the appraisals don't tend to be that expensive on residential properties.
They're typical.
It tends to be around $500.
Yeah, $500.
Commercial can be more, of course. And you know, maybe if you come to us with a gas station, we have to do a phase one or phase two environmental. That can start to add up. But look, those are the costs you're going to have with anybody. So you're paying the cost directly. It's not coming through us. All right. What if my client can't afford the appraisal? We actually have a solution for that, right?
We do. If it's a refinance only, not a purchase, if it's a purchase, why are they here? You know what I'm saying? They would need down payments. So
right, you can't.
If it's a refinance and their property is free and clear or there's a ton of equity in the property, we partnered up with another company that does financing for due diligence cost. And when that happens, let's look at that on a case-by-case basis, I would say. We'll refer them over to our partner company that does these on due diligence loans.
Right.
Where they'll lend your customer the money for travel, title, and any cost dealing with the loan.
Okay, great. If credit is not important, why are you asking for my credit report? People get mad.
People actually get upset. They do. And I've answered it before, and I want to answer it again. Two reasons that we ask for credit. Number one, it has to do with our pricing. It can only help you, can't hurt you. Okay, number one. Number two, when I'm dealing with a really poor credit, I need to know what we're going to put them into our system. So it's real simple. If I'm dealing with someone with a 505 FICO, I'm going to code him into our collection system differently than I am somebody with a 750 FICO.
Okay.
That's why we pull credit.
And you know, part of it is we have to have everything in the file. Even if it's not a key determinant of getting the loan, we got to have it in the file. If we have to sell the loan in the secondary market later or whatever, we at least have to have a file.
So right.
That's what it is. All right. I bought my home 6 months ago, and now it's worth $200,000 more than what I bought it. Why are you using the purchase price?
Seasoning, as we talked about earlier, Tim. Tim,
are there
seasoning?
Exceptions? I mean, can people get around that?
You bet.
How do you get around the seasoning?
A super duper property.
Okay.
Some beautiful
piece of property. A unicorn property.
And there's no then we'll wipe out the seasoning requirements. Look, we're an asset-based lender. We are here to make loans. We are here to put our money to work for us out on the street. We are here to do loans that make sense. So if we have a deal that's fully protected and it's going to protect ourselves, we're going to go to make that loan. We're not looking to turn it down. We have underwriting guidelines. We have our rules. We have our regulations. But let's be really frank with you, okay? The only way we collectively all make money is to close a transaction. So I have your best interest at heart as much as my best interest to close that transaction for you. So we will bend every possible way we can to make exceptions to get that deal to the closing table for you. So as Tim is saying, there are exceptions, and we have done deals that are totally different than what our underwriting guidelines and procedures tell us, only because the property was such a spectacular property. So you can throw seasoning requirements out the window if it's a spectacular property, if you would.
Right. In the end, our most important asset are our investors, and we do everything we can to protect our investors, but we have the ability to understand what that is. We're not Bank of America where the government's going to bail us out if we go under, so we will be more cautious and take care of our investors, but that means we're going to be around for years and be able to lend on whatever it is that we need. All right, next question. Why are you asking for fill in the blank, this random piece of paper?
Okay. I'm closing a loan right now where a gentleman's using a power of attorney to sign for his father. I have to see that power of attorney and run it by my attorneys to make sure they're comfortable giving me, and the title company, make sure the title company's comfortable with it. Why am I asking for various documentation? There's so many documentations that may mess up with the person's title on the property that the escrow company or title company may be asking for certain documentation to clear up any back liens or judgments that may show up on your borrower.
Okay, great. All right, and why is the LTV only 50% or whatever, less than somebody wants? I mean, people often want more than they can get.
We're a private money lender, and we're pretty much in the space and competitive. We're as competitive as really anybody out there when it comes to our loan-to-values. And what we must do is we must protect our investors with the loan-to-value. That's why our LTV is between, the 55 to 65% loan-to-value.
Okay. Can you finance a purchase for a pot farm? We already went over this, so definitely. No problem. No problem with those industries. We got a question.
All right, so we have a few, and these are actually really good questions here.
Better than the bad ones before.
Is the loan-to-value still 65% for all properties?
No. It drops on commercial. Bigger commercial properties will drop our LTVs a little bit. But again, it's I got to see the pictures and I got to see the situation.
Generally, you're in the 50 to 65% range.
Okay. And what do we do with loans for over $10 million?
We syndicate them out if we're very interested in them. And if they're over $10 million, they have to be perfect. Those deals over $10 million, they must be really good. We have a different set of underwriting guidelines for when dealing with over $10 million. So if you have a $10 million plus deal, just call me directly on it. We can go over it and I can lay it out for you in about 5 minutes and tell you whether or not we can put it together for you.
I had a lady call me the other day looking to buy a $10 million building with bad credit, no experience, and no money. So can't do that. Always blows me away when I get this. Right.
And for the appraiser, do we choose the appraiser or can the borrower pick the appraiser?
We have licensed approved appraisers that are on our list. We use national appraisal firms that are located in all 50 states. One of the firms we use is a company called Appraisal Nation. We call them, order it, and they sub it out to a local appraisal in your area. So to answer your question, the answer is no. We have to order the appraisal in our name.
We have made exceptions. Especially in really remote areas where it's going to take too long. But in general, we need to use our own appraiser. All right, well, that's it. Let's go ahead and wrap it up. So thank you, everybody, for coming on. I hope you enjoyed our show. I hope you enjoyed our new
studio. Well, thank you for having me here.
Basically sitting in our living room now, right?
Yeah, I like it.
David, I appreciate you coming on and lending us your 31 years of experience. And with that, we'll go ahead and wrap it up. Thank you, everybody, for everything you do. We look forward to doing a lot more deals together.
Thank you.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.